Did you know that Valentine's Day is this week? Some of us get very excited and anticipate this and have elaborate plans, and some of us just ignore it. We'd like it to go away. And we do know that, yes, it is a busy retail season for chocolate and wine and restaurants, and it's a little tempting to be a bit cynical if you're on the side that doesn't really care for it. But isn't there something significant about the invitation to give your heart to someone? A conversation with a professional person this week who's very self-confident, recently he said, "The only thing I'm afraid of is asking someone out on a date." When we face that monster fear, it's usually because we've put our heart out there. We don't know what kind of response we're going to get. And it's really the same thing with anything we care about, right? With a child, we're aware of the terrifying emotional consequences almost their whole life because we're so invested. We become vulnerable because we care. And that same thing is true when we care for the world. But once we say yes for the first time, it opens us up to a life that will never be the same. So the passage we heard this morning from Luke is about followers of Jesus, those first followers whose lives completely change. And that final line we heard really packs a punch. They left everything and followed him. That's a summary of faith in just a few words, but doesn't it leave us with a lot of questions? Have you ever left everything to follow someone or something? Do you give your heart? And if you do give your heart, what or who do you give it to? What does it mean now to follow Jesus? What stops us from following? Is it practicality, fear, worry? I'd like to invite you to think for a few moments if you've ever had a situation where you said yes, regardless of practicalities and fears, just because you knew it was right. It could be a small thing or a big thing. In a spiritual vocabulary, this is about vocation. It's our calling. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Traditionally, pastors and ministers and missionaries have been the ones we think of as being called. In the Presbyterian Church, we also call elders and deacons. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. So the calling is not just for the ordained, it's for everyone. And I'm not talking about necessarily our jobs, but about where our unique gifts and passions intersect with the deepest needs of the world. And yes, our world has some deep needs. It may be difficult to hear our calling just because we're so aware of all the aching need: homelessness, poverty, guns, climate change, racial injustice. These are just a few of the things that we wrestle with as a congregation and as individuals. What do we choose to focus on? And that's just a few. Margaret Wheatley wrote a book called So Far From Home, Lost and Found in Our Brave New World. She talks about the challenges of working for good in the world that we are facing now. She talks about the courage to keep on without knowing what the results are going to be. Here's what she writes. As our hearts are wholly engaged, we experience ever more compassion for others, ever more confidence and energy that we can do our work. Our human heart seems capable of infinite expansion when we find the work that is ours to do. And that's a delightful feeling. It's a deeply spiritual practice to open our hearts to those we serve without judgment, without a sense that it is all up to us, and to let go of saving the world or even our church. So, the scripture today is about calling. When Jesus called Simon Peter and the other fishermen, they left everything behind. And maybe we're tempted to soft pedal this. Believe me, I thought about that a lot because I can never claim to have left everything. But of all characters, Simon Peter compels us to really consider this, partly because he shows very human traits of enthusiasm, loyalty, fear, and betrayal. He enthusiastically proclaimed Jesus as teacher and master, but he's also the one who denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus was arrested. We don't know a lot about Simon, which is his name at this point. He had a mother-in-law, so presumably Simon was married and had a family. So when he spent all night fishing and came up with zilch, it didn't just affect him, it affected his whole extended family. You can picture it, can't you? This cold, long, discouraging night, fishing and fishing and nothing. And then Jesus, after teaching, says to Simon, "Well, go out in the deep water and there let down your nets." Can't you just imagine Simon being a little bit exasperated? "Teacher, we fished all night long and come up with nothing. But if you say so, we'll cast out the nets." He's going through the motions, probably out of respect, knowing full well that there are no fish. They go into the deep water, and then they catch so many fish, the nets start to break, and more come to help, and then the boats start to sink. What began as scarcity is now boatloads, literally, of fish. After the long night of no fish worry, they receive more than they ever imagined. This is a miracle along the lines of feeding the 5,000 from a few loaves and fish. Their lives will never be the same. I dare say that this passage has been read as proof of a prosperity gospel. If only we trust enough, if only we do what Jesus says, we are going to have all that we need and more. Many churches have been built upon that philosophy. But Jesus gives a clue. There is something more about this miracle. Here's what he says. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." People. What does it mean to catch people? It's about the abundance that comes from the love of community, not that God is going to build up the investments and the bank account. The mysterious, miraculous abundance is about people. It's about going beyond our narrow self-interest. It's about answering the call out of authentic compassion. It's about the miracle of God's love that gives us the strength for forgiveness, trust, generosity, and hope. When we say yes to God, when grace touches our lives, we're catching people. We can't help it. We may not know it, but when we are living in that place of trust and hope, we are saying yes to God and we're catching people. And it may mean giving in a way that we never dreamed possible or going where we never thought we'd go. You know, thinking of all the people who've returned from Costa Rica and Ethiopia and Tucson, you know, we don't know all the ways lives are impacted. But we are fishing for people. When, like Simon Peter, we set aside our hesitation and go into the deep water, we can trust that life will never be the same. UCC pastor, the Reverend William Sloan Coffin, said, "There is no smaller package in all the world than a man wrapped up in himself." Leaving everything behind to follow Jesus is being unwrapped and serving others. When I think of service in this community, Louise Scott is someone that I think of, someone who said yes. She died a few years ago, and if you didn't know her, she was a longtime member in this church, and she was also a force for good in our community, quite a strong force. In the late 60s, through the World Affairs Council, she and her husband offered their home to Ophelia, a woman from Romania. After that, they hosted exchange students. It very quickly became a pattern of hospitality that never changed, even with her husband's death. Louise continued the pattern, sharing her home for a year with refugees from Kosovo during the war there. Here's the thing. From the very beginning, every time she said yes, her confidence grew. She said she never regretted saying yes to that hospitality. Now, I'm just imagining it doesn't mean everything was smooth all the time, but she never regretted it. She learned that in taking a chance, things worked out. Good things happened. After her yes, things were never the same. Another person who says yes among us is a volunteer with teens in the Grant Constitution team. He says volunteering is an obligation he has to give back. He remembers all too well what a difficult teen he was himself and how there were adults who opened doors for him and kept patient when no one else would. He can never repay them, but he can pay it forward. For him, his call is to care, to listen and teach those youths who will be here in the future to make the world a better place. So it's been mentioned, but 30 years ago, four women at Westminster had a vision to make our sanctuary more beautiful and to celebrate the beauty of the stained glass by matching pew cushions to that. 30 years of needle pointing involved over 150 people. Talk about overflowing boats. Just think about how many teeny tiny little stitches created this collective work of art. Whether your yes leads to incremental change or whether it leads to an immediate big change, every yes deepens our love and trust in God. What would be different about your life if you said yes to something that you fear? How might God be calling us now? And I close with some words of Mother Teresa. She said, "There are no great things, only small things done with great love."